to make sure something hadn't been placed there that shouldn't be there. When I was pastoring here, we would have deacons fellowships, and we often had some at our homes, and we would exchange, how do you call those gifts that you don't want? White elephant gifts? Yeah. And there got to be a bowling pin that started being passed around in those deacons' meetings. And one Sunday morning I came up, and there was the bowling pin right under here. There have been other incidences of things showing up underneath the pulpit that were quite a surprise. That bowling pin, by the way, made its way to Canada when I left here. I had some ladies who volunteered to come help pack my books in the church office. And I didn't open those books for a good long while after I got to Canada, but when I did, the bowling pin was in Canada. And I think Rhonda Vaughn was the one that was really responsible for that, whenever that happened. But Linda Pitts may have been in the middle of it, I don't know. Y'all know Linda. Rhonda Vaughn has already gone to be with the Lord several years ago, but her and her family were very active here. It's good to see some folks that I know and love and cherish who were very special to me when I was pastoring here years ago. And some of them are seated right back there in that corner, and others scattered around this worship center. And may the Lord bless you for being here today, and may He speak to your heart and direct your heart. You know, our memory is sometimes a wonderful thing, because we don't remember some of the bad things that happened. We remember the good things that happened, and that's a good thing, isn't it? And for instance, you probably don't know this, but I remember it very well. We used to have a choir that set up here, and one Sunday morning, I put on a new pair of dress pants, and I was back there, right back there, and a lady dropped her bulletin. And I reached down and picked her bulletin up for her, and the seat of my pants split. I want you to know, I made sure I had my suit coat on, and I thought at any moment I was going to hear this choir break out in laughter behind me. So y'all didn't know about that, but I did, and I remember it quite well. And so, for sure, we remember the good times, the special times, but there were times of challenge when I was pastoring here at First Southern Baptist Church, which is now Aberdeen Baptist Church. And so we just have to remember that. Another thing I want to impress upon you today is the thing that helped me the most was God's favor in my life. What God did, not what I did. It was what God did. And so thank you for allowing me to stand in this pulpit one more time. We do have a lot of memories surrounding this church, but we are all rejoicing that our Lord has called Pastor Brett and Stephanie and Lily to serve here in this congregation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are rejoicing in that. And Pastor Brett, you're an answered prayer. And we are very grateful that you and your family are here. We rejoice with this congregation that you have come. And we're excited about the great things that God wants to do through your ministry and through this congregation. And so may you be blessed, and may His face shine upon you, and may you know God's favor from Him and through this congregation. My prayer for all of you is that as you serve together, that with your new pastor, that you as well may experience God's favor. So here we are at the beginning of a new year. And usually we focus on what we can do better in the coming year. Some even call them New Year's resolutions. Now we holiday that's being proclaimed. That was Friday, not, and it's called Quitter's Day. January the 11th, Quitter's Day. This holiday, or January 10th, celebrates the fact that all of the New Year's resolutions have been forgotten by this day. We're barely into the new year. And those New Year resolutions that, you know, we want to lose weight. We want to, I don't know, what do you want to do? Exercise more? What was your resolution this year? What did you decide you wanted to do better this year than what happened last year? See there, you've already forgotten it. You don't know what it was that you made that New Year's resolution about. And some people may be able to stick with their resolutions for the rest of this month, but by then, they're forgotten. So it, New Year's resolutions, though, it is all about what we can do or what we cannot do. It's all dependent upon us, what we can do or can't do or won't do. These can be good, but I want to tell you today there's a better way. Rather than focusing on what we're all about, we should focus on what our Heavenly Father is all about. Our first concern should be, how can we, you and I, how can we experience the favor of God? In Psalm 147, at verse 10 through 11, the Word of God says, He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear Him, those who wait for His loving kindness. Today, we're going to focus on the favor of God. And my prayer is that you will seek out God's favor over your life, your family's life, your children's life, your grandchildren's life. You'll seek God's favor upon this congregation, upon your pastor and his family, upon your music worship leader and his family, and upon all of us as a church family together. The favor of God is the most important thing than we can have. It's more important than anything that we can do or obtain through our own efforts. Our Heavenly Father is not impressed with anything that we can produce. When the Lord called me to be a pastor, He didn't have much to work with. I love freshman English in university so much, I took it over 3 times. That was just to get through it. In high school, I had a speech class that I almost didn't pass because I was scared to death to get up in front of people. I had a deep inferiority complex. My mama called a girl for me to have my first date. Because I was just so, the Lord didn't have much when He called me to pastor. And what I'm telling you is, the only reason if there's ever been any success in the ministry that I've had, it has been because of the favor of God. It's been because of God's hand who has led and guided and direct and blessed that there has been any success in any ministry at all. So I want us to focus on the Lord's favor today. And that's that passage of Scripture in Psalms. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear Him, those who wait for His loving kindness. There's lots of examples in the Word of God about God's favor in their lives. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was living her life devoted to God, was making a commitment in her life to live as Joseph's wife. Obviously, she loved the Lord, but never expected the next events that were going to take place in her life. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 33, is the beautiful story of the angel coming and speaking to Mary. And most of you know that verse. And the Word of God says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel, having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold," and he goes ahead and tells her, "you're going to have a baby boy, and you're going to see him and give birth to a son. And that son is going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Can you imagine the impact in Mary's life whenever the angel came to her and said, "Mary, you are favored by God"? Now I want you to put yourself in that position. I want you to hear the fact today that God loves you and God cares about you and you are a favored individual of the Lord. The next verse of Scripture says that not only did it come for Mary who found favor, and God doesn't need another Mary, by the way. God is looking for those that he can place his favor on now. God favored Mary so that he could make his favor available to all the people. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. And I don't need to read all of that to you, but it's the shepherds in the field. And look at the last words of the angels in verse 14, where they said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. God favors them. Wow. God expresses his desire to bless his people with his favor. God wants to bless you. He wants to pour his favor out upon you. He wants to pour his favor upon Pastor Brett and the leadership of this church and this church together. God wants to enrich your lives with his favor. Jesus knew God's favor in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Samuel knew God's favor, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And then favor ought to be our desire. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. What's on your wish list? What do you want? What is your desire? What do you want to see happen in your life? I'm telling you, the one thing that we ought to be encouraged to seek for is God's favor. We must have God's favor. We need God's favor. We deserve God's favor. Only because God loves us. And we are encouraged to seek God's favor. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 9, the Word of God says, "But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious unto us." Malachi chapter 1 and verse 9. So what does it mean to have the favor of God upon your life? I want to have God's favor upon my life, my home, and my family. We use this term in modern day vernacular. Hey, would you do me a favor? That is, would you do something for me that I don't really deserve? I'm asking even though I know it is a favor and because I know we're in a relationship. Favor from God can change your life. Well, what does favor mean? In the Old Testament, favor means grace, charm, acceptance, goodwill, desire, to bend, to stoop in kindness to an inferior, and here it would be God stooping to us, to man, giving us his favor. Even in the Old Testament, men and women were blessed with God's favor. In the New Testament, it's from the Greek word charis. This is where we get our word for grace. It is where we get our word for gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are a sign of God's favor upon us. Oh, to know God's favor in our lives and to seek that. God's favor results in God's influence upon our heart and his reflection in our life. God's favor produces joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. With God's favor, we can handle life. With God's favor, we can handle life. I want you to know, life's tough. Life is hard. It is not easy. We need God's favor in our lives. We need God's favor at work, in our children's lives, in our grandchildren's lives. We need God's favor poured out upon us. Lance Wallen, who's a pastor in Rhode Island, he had some things to say about favor that I could not say any better. He said, to have the peculiar signature of God's favor or honor or cherishing value placed on you so that when he sees you, there is a special value he has for you. In other words, Pastor Lance says, God really likes you. When he likes you, there's such an influence that comes upon you that the charisma of God himself rubs off on you, which makes other people like you or cooperate with you, whether they like you or not. Favor is the special affection of God towards you that releases his influence that flows through our lives. I want you to know, church family, that the greatest thing that we can have or know is God's favor being poured out upon us. The greatest thing our church can have is God's favor being poured out upon us. The greatest thing our pastor can have is for God's favor to be poured out through his life. Pastor Brett, there's going to be some great times here at this church. There's going to be some hard times here at this church. But the thing that will see you through is God's favor over you and your family's life. Church family, there's going to be some great things yet to come. This church isn't finished yet. God has a plan for you. God has a direction for you. God wants to bless you. He wants to pour his favor out upon you. And all of that's in the future, not the past. We like to think about maybe some of the things that happened in the past. Well, let's focus on what God wants to do in the future. Let's see God's favor pour himself, see the Lord pour himself out upon this congregation. And for us to know the favor of God upon our congregation and upon his people. Well, there's a lot more scriptures that I could share with you today. The psalmist is full of passages of scripture. calls upon favor. In my Bible study this morning, when I was reading, I came across two different passages of Scripture that talked about God's favor upon our lives. And neither one of them were in my notes. I thought, wow, I should have put those in my notes. I do want to focus. I'm going to jump to Psalm 147, verse 10 through 11, where the Word of God says, He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear Him, those who wait for His loving kindnesses. I want you to know, folks, the favor of God is revealed by His beautiful presence in our lives. It is revealed by the tangible benefits that's produced in other people's lives. The fingerprints of God left on our lives and the lives of others. The personal refreshing, the work of our hands is blessed. God's favor is revealed by His blessing. So Psalm 90 in verse 17 says, And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. I cut out some things today because it really doesn't matter what I say. What matters now is what you're about to do or not do. I'm going to invite our pastor, Pastor Brett, to come here. It's going to be a different kind of invitation today. Pastor Brett is going to be here at the front. And I'm asking you as a congregation to get up out of that pew. Cheryl's going to be playing a little bit on the piano. And I'm going to ask you to come and take Pastor Brett by the hand. And I'm going to ask you to ask him to pray for you, for God's favor to be upon your life. And when you come, just say to the pastor, I'm praying that you'll know God's favor as you serve. Father, we love you and we thank you for your love. Father,